So for this evening, we are going to continue with some of the things we had already started talking about today, and so appropriate that the last song that we were worshiping with was "My Hallelujahs Belong to You." And the focus of our discuss this morning was about the purpose of our living. What are you living for? What is your assignment? What is it that God is expecting of us? One of the things I have learned in life, as I've studied life and people and the Word of God, is that when you love somebody, you have expectations from them. Love is demonstrated by your expectations. If you don't have expectations of somebody, you are very clearly declaring that there is not really any deep relationship, love relationship with that person. So apathy then becomes the opposite of love, not hate. Apathy, where you don't care. And when a relation comes to a place where people don't care, love is dead. But when God loves you and God loves me, He has expectations. When we love God, we have expectations of God. When God loves us, He has expectations of us. One of the clear expectation that God has of us is that our focus be on Him. Because He knows that the fullness of us is only in Him. And so He tells us, this is, you have choices, but I tell you what you should really choose. I present you life and death. Choose life. Amen? And if He says choose, it's because He knows it is giving us the ability to make the choice. If we do not have the ability to make choices, God will not have any expectation of us to make the right choice, or any choice at all, for that matter. God expects us to live. And He, because He expects us to live and wants us to continue living, knows that we are going to face life. And in life, choices have to be made. Life is the experience of ups and downs. If I were to take you to the hospital today and we stare at the monitor of patients in the hospital, what we do not want to see is a flat line. True? If you see a flat line, the person is kaput, dead. You see beeps, ups, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And when we see that going up, down, we say, that's life. He's alive. The reality in life is this, that you go through ups and downs. That's a clear sign that you're alive. If your life is like this, you're dead. But a life of up and down is the experience of choices that we make in God. That up and down is represented by the contraction and expansion of things happening in your body. Right now, things are happening in your body. Some things are contracting and some things are expanding. It's steadily like that. And when it's happening, you are alive. So we go through experiences. And in those experiences that we go through, good, bad, or ugly, we make the decision, I am going to be with God. I stick with God. I am not going to flatline through life and have no expectations. Because the flatline in your life is a life of no expectations. Well, this is the way it is. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We must pursue after the heartbeat of God in everything that we do. And as we do so, God's name is glorified based on choices. Are you with me so far? So when one wants to glorify God, they make a choice. And sometimes those choices are not fun. The choice to glorify God, to honor God, may be that people reject you. Maybe that people start hauling words, wicked words at you, calling you names, harassing you. But you have to make a choice. Do I go with likeness and acceptance by man, or do I go with loving God and being received by God, whether it be in life or in death? Because sometimes it can be your life. But if you choose to live for God, and you know that it may sometimes cause you trouble, and you still do it, you are living your life for God, not for circumstances. Jesus knew why he came. He came to die. But at the time that death faced him, he had to make a choice. He said, my God, listen, understand that Jesus, our Lord, knew that being absent from the body was to be present with God. He knew that. Would you accept that? He knew that if he died, he was going to be present with the Father. He knew that. Would you accept that? But when it hit the fan, he said, Father, if there's another way, let's do it some other way. He knew why he came. He set his face as a flint to go. He knew he was going to die. But at the point, he had to make a decision. Even though he knew betterment was on the other side of this crisis, but the pain of the present moment, and every one of us at one point or another, we face a situation where we know, yeah, I know, but, but, yikes, this hurts. But in spite of the hurt, you make the decision, I will follow God. I live for him. That is the kind of radical living, thinking that must be embedded in us so deeply that the devil cannot do anything to stop you or hinder you from living truly for God. If you and I don't have that, then we face a point in our lives that will compromise ourselves and betray ourselves and sabotage ourselves. You don't make that decision at that point. You make that decision before you even get there. I am sold out for God. I live for God. That does not mean at the point of contact that you are not going to have to make that decision. You are going to make that decision. But if you are floozy over here, when it comes to make that decision, forget it. It's a story. I told you the story. I don't know if I told it well enough, a man busts into a church and said, "Who is the child of God here? Show up. Who is a child of God?" And nobody was saying anything. They shot into the ceiling. I said, "Who's a child of God?" And everybody pointed at the pastor. The pastor said, "What kind of conspiracy is this? Everybody knows that I'm the child of John James." Yeah. When push comes to shove, he denied it. He's been saying, "I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God." Now push comes to shove, "I'm a child of somebody else." Well, that's a reality. That's when push comes to shove, what are you about? What am I about? When we live for God, we choose to honor him, we live by his word, we recognize very clearly that we are not of this world, we are from another sphere. We follow the mandate of God to bring forth the word of reconciliation to people. We go forth to see that men are surrendered to God as we share the word of love with them. You know, in the natural, this is just a sidestep. I'm going somewhere with all of this. When I think about the world and where things are moving, in the natural, my natural tendency is to think our goose is cooked because those who are anti-God have done an excellent job of trying to eradicate God out of the minds of our children, out of the minds of our youth. Our youth are indoctrinated with all kinds of anti-God sentiments. And when I think about it, I wonder what 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now would look like, especially when the gospel that has been preached from the pulpit is not pure anymore. How will our children function? How will they move in the things of the Spirit? It's been a great concern to me. And then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, "Don't worry about that." I said, "Why shouldn't I worry about that? Don't you see what's happening?" He said, No. "Listen, son, you don't get it. It's a good thing they are pushing in this direction because my spirit is in people. They are going to reverse this system and back up and go the other way." Hallelujah. I said, "Yikes, that's good." So I lost that sense of fear about where people are going to be at 20, 30. No, there's going to be a revival. Amen. Amen. There's going to be a revival, a kickback against the devil and everything he stands for, and say, "No! We're going to live for God. We are people. We are not animals. We are not robots. We are not just anything that you can just say anything to and we do this." And no, there is a God. And that excited me and keeps me going to recognize that, yes, this battle has been going on for the longest time. It's like a tug of war. But have you know those, you know, where you have a rope and people pull in this way? It's a tug of war. But we're going to win this one. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to win it. God has a light in every man that comes into the world. And there's no way the devil is going to be able to do whatever he thinks that he thinks he can do to stop what God said he will do. The story is finished. We know the end of it. The devil is going to the lake of fire. And we will rule and reign in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this day, child of God, I want you to know that, yes, we are going to make decisions, and those decisions are going to be born out of a heart that beats after God and His will. We get our priorities right. Don't say that you sold out for God when you cannot give Him a dollar. When you have to count your pennies, well, the tithe is 10%. That means I have to give $10.61. Well, they don't make 1 cent anymore. What are you going to do? Well, the smart aleck is going to reduce it to 60 cents. And some people may just stretch and say, well, let's just round up a little bit up. Let's make it 10.65. Really? You really have to do that? Think about your giving in those terms? Or do you just become radical in God and say, God, I give because I have. I refuse to accept lack in my life. There's a statement, I pray that I never forget it. Something the Lord spoke to me about maybe about 3-4 weeks ago. He said, to live in the world of sufficiency is to accept mediocrity. I said, what? He said, yeah. If you're living in the world of sufficient, just enough, you're going to be in a place of mediocrity. In other words, you are going to flatline. Say, don't accept that. I said, but Lord, Paul said, I have learned how to live with lack and learned how to live with abundance in every state. I have less satisfaction. He said, yeah, that was one stage in his life. He said, son, he came to a place where he understood something. My God shall supply all of your needs. He says, and my supply is in abundance. Don't accept just enough. And I want to repeat that to myself every day. Don't live in the world of just enough. Don't live in the world of just enough. Because if you are living in God and you are moving in God, He's not in the place of just enough. Some people say thousands of years ago, some people may say millions of years ago. Whatever the state, God spoke. He said, let there be light. He said, He spoke, and His words keep on expanding our universe. The words of God still is going forth. It has not stopped. Because God is not satisfied with just enough. He wants to propel you and propel me to live in that way. God, I cannot live in the world of I am satisfied. No. There must be a dissatisfaction that causes you and I to hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. Hunger and thirst. And believe that God can do something greater than what we have seen already. Amen? What gets into the mind of somebody to build a church of 150,000 seats? Crazy ideas like that are born out of not staying in a state of satisfaction. Well, it has never been done before. If it's a good thing to be done, let's do it. When I was taking economics years ago, there's a writing, I've forgotten who the author is. He said, if it is not broken, break it. Because the standard thinking is, if it's not broken, don't break it. This guy says, if it's not broken, break it.
Well, that's living outside the box. And as believers, we've got to come to that place where we say, you know what? Status quo is not what this is all about. I am not going to be satisfied with just speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. We've been satisfied with speaking in tongues for over 2,000 years and done nothing with it. Speaking in tongues, it's good. But if that's all we're doing, then we've not come into the place that God calls us to. Let me show you. The Bible says, the Word of God says, and you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's what it said. True? But on the day of Pentecost, it says, and they were filled. Being filled and being baptized are not the same thing. And then they were filled again. I remember, when was this now? It was in 87. I was talking about the Holy Spirit and teaching about the Holy Spirit. And as I was speaking, all of a sudden, I could not feel, like now I'm walking, I can feel my feet. I could not feel my feet on the floor. So I looked down, my feet are on the floor, but it looked like I was floating. And I said, what is this, Lord? He said, you don't know what that is? I said, no, I don't know what's going on. What's going on? How come I can't feel my feet on the floor? But my feet are on the floor. He said, I'm taking you into the realm of baptism. And as soon as I stepped into that realm, when I looked in a direction, all the people in that side, boom. It was happening at the Seven Oaks R.F. Morrison Elementary School. I looked on this side, boom, the power of God was hidden. I said, hey, what on earth is going on? He said, you have not seen anything about baptism. None of you have experienced baptism. He said, but the day is going to come that I will bring you to the fulfillment of my word, and any satanic force that tries to come against you will experience the force of the Spirit of God as it radiates from you and knocks down everything that is contrary to my will. I say, yeah. Lord, do it. I say, you're not ready yet. He gave me a taste of it. You see, if I were to bring a cup and a basin to show you what baptism is, if I start pouring water inside that cup that's inside the basin, the cup will fill a quarter, half full, three quarters, full. Then it will overflow. And when it overflows, it's just an overflow. But that's not baptism yet. When that cup fills and keeps on filling and overflowing, there comes a point when that cup begins to float, where it is surrounded by the water and it is floating in between. Are you with me? That's baptism. That is totally surrounded with the force field of the glory of God. This is a place where you cannot swim. This is beyond. And God Almighty wants to do that for us. I believe He wants to do it now. I say, God, do it now. That we flow in a dimension of the authority of God that cannot be explained by natural man in any way, shape, or form. That we are moving in that dimension. That anything that is satanic breaks apart. Just because, it says, in Psalm 2, it says, act right before Him. Because if you anger Him, you're going to fall apart. And that's the place God wants to bring you and I to. Just mark us. Say, this one belongs to me. Everything within Him belongs to me. I have Him. I want God to have me. What about you? Yeah. I want to be God-possessed. You know, we hear about demon-possessed people. What about God-possessed people? Can you imagine what will happen if we are God-possessed? Hallelujah. God wants us to be that way. Moving in another dimension of his authority and power. But my spiritual father says there's a power that's going to invade the world that causes the forces, the powers of darkness to tremble. Yeah, that anointing must come upon our lives. Amen? A fresh anointing that terrorizes the forces of darkness. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I began reading from that passage this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to take it from verse 6 to 18, if you may help me quickly. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 to 18. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Somebody say, Lord, I stir up the gifts, the giftings, the ability that you have invested in me. In the name of Jesus, I stir it up now. I stir it up now. I stir it up now. Gifts of the living God embedded in me by the laying on of hands. Be stirred up now. Act up now. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. When these giftings are stirred up, there is no fear. When the giftings of God inside of you are not stirred up, you'll be afraid. I remember many years ago, I don't know why the Lord has reminded me about this again. I was up in my office. I had a message that I had prepared for the day. And the Lord says to me, he says, I want to address the nation today. I said, okay, how, where? And it's good to ask questions. He said, here. I said, somebody's coming? He said, no. I said, so how are you going to address the nation? He said, through you. I said, okay. And exactly what are we going to say? He says, none of your business. I said, okay, that explains it. So I came up from there to here. Those are too many steps. I opened my mouth and I began to address the nation. I think we still have copies of that message. Okay. I will do that. So I finished. He says, now send it to the members of parliament and the legislative assemblies across the nation. I said, I don't have the money for it. Can't afford it. He said, no problem. I'll take care of that. So a company here in Winnipeg took the message and mass produced it for me, and I didn't pay a dime. And now I sent it. This was at a time where the prime minister was telling the church, you cannot preach this and you cannot preach that. And everything they said I cannot preach about, I preached about. And sent it to them and told them this. Yeah. I started, oh my. You're going to hear the message again sometime. Hi. So I told my spiritual father about this. I said, I did this. He said, you did what? what did you do? I said, I preached this kind of a message. And I said, he said, you did what? That's when I got scared. I said, if my spiritual father is asking me this kind of a question. Oh my, did I ever stick my face in it? Wow. Everything they said not to say, I said. I said, oh God. But you know what? It only lasted a few seconds. Because the Word of God tells us that God has not given us the spirit of fear. Amen? He's not giving us the spirit of fear. That means I don't have to be politically correct. I have to be God correct. Amen? Well, because you know what? If you try to be politically correct, you might be going against what God said. And the politician is not going to speak on your behalf and say, he's a good man. He tried, you know, to practice tolerance and he tried this and he tried that. No. They're not going to cast one vote for you. And even if they all did, their votes do not match up with God's no. All I really want, and all you and I must really want, is to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what's important. And we must live our lives in pursuit of that. Yeah, sure, we might fall flat on our faces many times attempting to do the right thing, but get back up. Get back up. Oh, people are going to accuse you and say, well, you're not consistent. Well, I was not consistent, but now I'm going to be consistent. And you fall again, get back up. At least there's the consistency of getting back up. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You believe something. Stick with it. Amen? Young people, know what you believe. Stand for it. Stand for it. This is what I believe. And I stand for it. Heard a story, I don't know how real or true this story is, but the principle is real. There's a chihuahua. You know what a chihuahua is, right? Small dog. A chihuahua that belonged to a particular neighbor, and a few yards up was a bulldog. And this chihuahua would go under his fence, go across to the other yard, and the bulldog would beat it, bite it. It's all wounded. It goes home beaten. Next day, chihuahua gets back up and goes back. And the bulldog beats it again. And it goes, yeah. It goes over there, licks its wound. Next day, it's back. One day, chihuahua came and bulldog takes off. I'm tired of this fight. Ah, this chihuahua will not quit. Well, that's the kind of tenacity that must be built in us. No quitting. I will not quit. I will fight this fight until I win it. Somebody's going to lose, but it's not going to be me. At the end, this thing, I'm going to win this war. That drive must be inside of every one of us seated here today. As believers, we have too many people who quit for too little things. The devil says, ha! We take off. No, there's got to be a time when the devil says, ha! You say, who are you talking to? I don't know why I'm remembering Morris in elementary school now. I remember it was a service. Power of God was touching people. And I come and lay hands on this particular lady. She goes under the power of God and she bounces back up. When she comes back up, her eyes are no longer normal. They are bloodshot. You couldn't even, it's like not seeing the pupils anymore. And she comes up with this strange voice, I hate you! I'm going to kill you! I'm over here. I turn around and say, who are you talking to? Power! The power of God hit the woman. But when it happened, they were Christians. Chairs were flying all over the place. They were taking off. Then I see people at the door over there. I said, where are you guys going to? Scared. But the word of God says, God has anointed us with the ability to cast out demons. Who gives the devil the right to speak where you are? We must be sold out completely to the faithful God that we serve. Believe this God and be sold out to his purposes. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed. Let people know that you are a believer. Nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. It says, of the afflictions of the gospel. If it says the afflictions of the gospel, that means you and I are going to be challenged. We're going to be afflicted. But do so, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Go through it with the power of God. What does that mean? It means that physically, just like I was talking about the baptism state that I was walking, that you can see them hitting you and banging on you and feeling nothing. It can happen. There's a power that can cause you to flow in another dimension. Amen? Who had saved us and called us with an holy calling. That's what we've got, a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and according to his grace. It's not based on our works, it's based on his grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This grace was given to us when? When was the grace given? Before the world what? Began. Before the world began. Someone say, before the world began. Before this world was put together, God had already given us grace. So if he gave us grace before the world began, then he must have given us grace in the heavenlies before we were manifested in the earth. The anointing on your life is an old anointing. It surpasses time. Hallelujah. We must use this power that God has released inside of us. I must use it. You must use it. We must use it. Because if we think that the anointing that we are operating by is new, wimpish, then we don't know what we're talking about. This anointing is a before the world began anointing. Before the world began grace. But it's now made manifest. It is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished what? Death. He what? Abolished death. He did what? Abolished death. And had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He abolished what? So why are we still dying? Because we don't believe it. He abolished death and brought to life and immortality, and had brought life and immortality. Life is this time of living. Immortality is a forever thing. It's a thing that means that you cannot die. That you are not dieable. Hallelujah. Through the gospel, through the gospel, Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let me not stop there, because that's going to take me for a while. So let me continue. Some other day I'll come talk about that. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love. Hold it fast. Amen? That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep it by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Keep the good thing, that good thing that was put in you, those giftings that were invested in you, keep it. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So in essence, he's going through all of this, and there are people who are trying to profit with his pain and suffering. You know, there are always those people who come around, and this just smart Alex that tell you about the fact that you don't have faith because you're going through something. The fact is, you're going through it. You're not going to die in it. But you think, oh yeah, you know, something must be wrong with you. No, what you need to do is be of supportive help. Amen? Hallelujah. So Onesiphorus was there supporting. He says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The guy didn't just come and say, oh, well, he's not here. No, he sought for him. He sought for him until he located him. Why? He wanted to be supportive of him. And verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. This morning we talked about that. We need to be supportive of each other, helpful and supportive of men and women who are preaching the gospel. Give into their lives. Encourage them. Because understand something. Paul did not get into all those chains because of himself. He got into all of that trouble because of people that he was ministering to, trying to help. Don't ever see a man or woman of God's family struggling through something and then start accusing them. The time that they would have spent with their family, they're spending with you. Spending with all kinds of people. You support them. You help them. You encourage them. You help them with their children. You help them with whatever it is that you can do to help them so that they can continue doing the work that God has called them to do. That's what we do, to help each other fulfill the mandate of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah? Now, I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to read as quickly as I can, verse 14 through 22. 2 Timothy 2:14. And with this, we'll wrap up. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Now, this is the second time we've read through Timothy, and he keeps on using that word, remembrance. You have to remind yourself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Get rid of strife. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. In other words, God is saying, study my words to qualify yourself in my presence. That's something that you and I get to do. You get into the Word of God, and you study it, and you study it, and God approves you. A workman that needed not to be ashamed. Why? Because you've studied. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because you studied. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Babbling. Because you did not study. You're babbling around. He says, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. These people have words, but their words are contrary. They've not studied everything, and they are saying things that are polluting the lives of people. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you name in the name of Christ, it says, depart from iniquity. This is required. Why? It says, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what these? Frivolous, babbling, nonsensical words not founded on the truth and the integrity of God's word. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase. They will increase unto more ungodliness. So he's got to shun that. Purge yourself from this. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Choices. Choices. Based on what you're living for. Says in the great house, yeah, it's vessels of gold, vessels of silver, and then there's vessels of wood and clay. You want to be a vessel of wood and clay? Act crazy. You want to be a vessel of gold and silver? Then you got to shun certain things and not allow certain things into your mind. Because like canker, they will pollute your life. They will disrupt your life. It's not everything that you hang around.
It's not everything that you listen to. It's not everything that you give yourself to. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a what? A duck. If it smells fishy, something is wrong. I don't care how smiley face the person is, how nicey they talk. If you smell a rat, there is a rat. And you must separate yourself from that kind of an attitude if you're going to be a vessel of honor to the glory of God. If you're going to be somebody that has a perspective of eternity on your mind, then daily you must make a decision on what it is that you listen to, what it is that you hang around, what it is that you allow to take your time, because your time, child of God, is precious. I think possibly is the most precious thing other than God himself, your time, to you. And you cannot afford to let it be drained by frivolous activities and words, because you have not made the decision to live for God wholly, completely. That, child of God, is a decision. My prayer is that we all make the right decisions and that we pursue after God wholeheartedly, that we're radical when it comes to God. Like Paul will say, addicted. If there's any addiction that we as believers must have, it must be an addiction to God and to his will, to his purposes. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we know not what to do most of the time. And what it is that we know to do, many times we fail to do adequately. We know that about ourselves, but we do know this, that you have given grace for us to live differently. And so we tap on that grace that preceded the world, that power that was released before the world, that power that marked us before we had entrance into this natural world. We tap into that eternal power, that eternal grace, that eternal ability, and we say, God, do the extraordinary with our lives so that we represent you well here. For you have called us to be your ambassadors, your representatives. And Lord, oh God, we want to do a good job at that. And so we ask, oh God, that mercy will come to play with us in our lives, and that we are empowered by your anointing to live lives that are fulfilling, lives that are meaningful, purposeful, lives, oh God, that bring about change wherever we are. We need you now, Father. We want to demonstrate your authority in this natural world, that men may know that there is a God. God, use our lives, every one of us, bar none. Use us to testify of your goodness, to see miracles happen, to see, oh God, creative miracles happen. Lord, oh God, that lives are truly changed, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, that transformation takes place.
Father, revive us again. From the very youngest to the oldest, Lord, oh God, we thank you that you are doing it. And Lord, oh God, that you are touching the governments of the world and touching our leaders and helping them, oh God, to make right decisions. Father, in Jesus' name, we declare your word right now. We declare it over this nation. We declare, oh Father, by the authority of your word, that any force that seeks to contradict your will and your word, Lord, oh God, that it cannot stay in power. It must come down. In the name of Jesus, we dethrone everything that is not of you. We speak your word. We send it now forth, Lord, oh God, into every sphere of leadership in this nation. And Lord, oh God, we declare by the authority of your word, Lord, oh God, that you will eradicate everything that will try to cause the walk of your people to be that which is stumbling through life. Lord, oh God, we want to walk a straight line. We want to do the right things. We want to accomplish your will. And Lord, oh God, we don't need satanic forces operating in the realm of government. So, Father, in Jesus' name, let your fire begin to hit every realm of this city, of this nation, of this province, every sphere of it. Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name. So, Lord God Almighty, that, Lord, your fear will hit the hearts of men and women, and, Lord, oh God, that the mouths, oh God, of ungodly people will be shut because, oh God, your fear strikes deep into their hearts. You can do it again. You can do it again. Lord, do it. Lord, do it. And do it through your people. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our decision is to live for you. And we believe, oh God, that you will help us do so. For in our own ability, we cannot. But by your ability, we can. We trust you, oh God, to help us now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.